My name is Ian O'Neill, and this is How They Did It, a podcast where we learn filmmaking from those who've gone before us. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to How They Did It, a podcast for indie filmmakers, especially those just starting out looking to make their very first film, although anyone at any level can listen and learn. I had a great conversation with Sean Rose, an award-winning filmmaker who talks about how he made his film, Upstate Story, in 4 years for $500. There was a lot for him to overcome, and I want you to hear it from him. So without further ado, here's the interview. Sean Rose, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I look forward to this.
Hey, no problem, man. I checked your movie out last night. It was awesome. We're going to get to that. But first, I got to find out a little bit about you. So when did you get bitten by the filmmaking bug? When did it all start for you?
When I was a late teen. That's when I first started writing some of my earliest ideas. And, you know, I did the schooling thing, and then I made a few films in school. I made two features prior to Upstate Story, and it's just been progressive ever since I was a late teen.
So why filmmaking though? What was it about filmmaking that got you excited?
I just always loved movies. Watching them. And then once you start watching more and more and more, and you start hearing about like some of these more like foreign filmmakers and stuff like that, some of the it really exposes you to certain elements within the craft that you had never experienced before, and it really intrigues you. And that's what got me into it. Just watching more movies and seeing all these different stories being told.
Wow. And you then, of course, you decide, I want to start my own. I want to tell my own stories.
Correct.
That's brilliant, man. That's brilliant. So you mentioned that you've made a couple of features, yes? Like Fine Line was your first, and Blocked and Sidetracked was your second feature. So what made you think in the first place, listen, I can make a feature?
with those two in particular, those were the biggest learning experiences for me, I feel. As good as school was, helping me to develop, just getting familiar with actually filming it and actually editing and actually acting, those two were the ones that were my big learning experiences.
So you learned a lot on that. So you must have learned enough, because not only did you do one, you did two features. Like, that's pretty amazing.
Yes.
So how'd you go in the beginning of those two? What kind of budget did you give yourself for those first features?
That was even less than Upstate Story.
Whoa.
I just took what I had in my surroundings with both films and just kind of wrote like a very rough story and just kind of filmed with my surroundings, what I had available to me in mind, and just it all went from there.
I can't remember who said it, but there's a famous filmmaker who says, use what you've got, make a list of the things around you, the props that you have, the camera that you have, and go from there. Write the script based on that. And it sounds that's exactly what you did.
Yep.
I think it was Rodriguez who said that. Which makes sense.
Very well, Ben. I know he has roots in just being a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
And just, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you've followed his path. So did you go out and buy any special equipment to shoot your first film?
Oh, no. It was a camera I had used all throughout school. Are you talking about my first films?
Yeah, the first films that you had. Those very first films, the Fine Line. Like, did you use school equipment to shoot that, or did you buy your own?
I did not. I saved up a bunch of money and bought this camera package. At the time, Mini DV was the primary platform at the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, that helped me go through those two features, my time at school, and I even used it to film Upstate Story.
That's brilliant. Well, and again, it's like, use what you have. Why put more into the camera than you have to? And I noticed when I started watching Upstate Story that it was like a 480, or it wasn't in high def, and it suited the story somehow.
Yeah, I've been told that a lot, that you know, because it is a slice of life drama, it didn't need the overly stylized or it didn't need to be too polished visually. Right. I never that way.
Yeah, super crisp. It just, it's funny, if it was super crisp and it was high def, I think it would have been detrimental to the film. So let's talk about this, the third feature you did. We're talking about Upstate Story, which has 42 festival wins and a further 19 nominations. Fantastic, man. Congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Thank you very much.
So can you give us a short description of that film?
The movie's about a character named Ellis Martin, who's struggling with his job. He's in a very rough spot in life. He's trying desperately to find a new job, get different employment, something better. And he just rough shoots it through, like, each day of every week. And then there's one thing, or there's several things that he's in a big urge to get to during the weekend that make his whole life worth living and the struggle worth going through.
Yeah, it's and you know, I have to ask, what sparked the idea behind the film? Was it your life that sparked the idea behind the film?
Absolutely, yes.
Really? Yep. So this really is like a love letter to your kids. It's fantastic. And, you know, that's what I took away from it, was this. It was a beautiful story. It really was. It was just this nice. And I felt good afterwards. I felt bad for his struggle, but there was hope there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what you presented to the audience. There's hope. There's always hope. And that was my take anyway.
Yeah, I've been told that a lot by people, that, you know, they say your movie's one of the more relatable I've ever seen. And, you know, when people tell me that, it's such a great compliment. It makes me feel great.
You know what? You deserve it. So before we move on, you talk about acting. You are the main character in this story. You do a lot of acting. Was that something you had planned to do at the beginning of your career?
Yeah, with my two first features, I also did it as well, sporadically through my work as a student, because certain instructors would tell you, you know, try not to act in your own projects, try to branch out and get other people, you know, you have to focus on your behind-the-camera work. But, like, my personal projects, it's largely just been me as the primary focus.
Saves you money, right?
Yep, saves money. I do have a little bit of experience, you know, I learned about it in school. I also did the voiceover tracks within Upstate Story as well. Yep. That was a hell of a time.
Well, how so? Why was it so hard?
Not having like an adequate studio type of setting to do the recordings. You have to try to be... it's just trying to get the audio quality right on top of trying to memorize your or remember your lines. Yeah. If you record in certain spaces, you get a lot of reverb. It's a lot of factors you have to take into. At one point, I was like tucked down in the corner of my bedroom. I used the recording memo app on my phone to do all the voiceover recordings, and I just tucked down in between like sheets and mattresses because they absorb a lot of the sound.
Right. Wow. So man, you went through a lot to make this film happen.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know what? And again, and you used your phone. Like, again, we're talking about you had an idea, you used what you had, even for audio, using the memo on your phone. I mean, that's brilliant, man. That's fantastic. And the editing must have been difficult.
Yes.
Because you're on tape, right?
Yeah, the mini DV tapes, they...
Oh, lost you a bit.
Could be difficult there. There we go. Times. Had to attach through like a firewire and upload all the footage on my laptop. And then as I was filming the project in 2014, when I was really hot with it and, you know, moving on quite well, that's when I had the laptop crash.
Oh.
That put out of commission for a while. And then it was a journey. No joke.
So how did you write this film? Like, did you have a script for this film, or did you kind of sort of piece it together as you went along?
I wrote the basic, outline, like the scenario, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It was my intention to go back later on and record the voiceover on the fly.
Right.
Just watching the scenes and how they play out and just thinking, how would Ellis be thinking right here?
Right.
And then writing that down and recording it. I got a lot of help from my girlfriend currently, Andrea, and my father, who I would, write down lines. And I'm like, do you think I'm going too far with this? Because sometimes Ellis, he's got some very dark thoughts.
Yeah, he does.
You might want to tone that down.
Did you tone down some of the dialogue? Did you tone it down a bit?
There were certain moments where I'd like, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I think about it, if this is a love letter to your kids, I don't know how they're going to respond. I know how they'll respond to the end. I just don't know how they'll respond to the 9 to 5 during the week, because boy, does he get dark.
I didn't want to go too dark to make him so unlikable.
Right.
Right. But I didn't want to go too soft with it too, because I've always felt that even with the nicest person, like what's going on in their mind is always going to be much darker than what they present to the world.
Right.
So, right. It's all in his head, his thoughts that he doesn't necessarily share with the world, but.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And again, you did do some stuff on the fly, I'm sure.
Yes.
Right? You had to, because, and again, you took, what was it? You took how long to make the film?
From 2014 to 2018 of April.
Wow.
March 2014 is when I started filming. So, yeah, 4 years in 1 month.
Wow, 4 years. And the budget was how much?
Oh, 500 estimated.
So that was probably for tapes and food.
Yeah, if I needed help filming a scene, I'd be like, hey, I'll give you gas money. If you ride up here, I'll buy dinner.
Yeah.
You know, we ate a lot of pizza. Oh, man. You can't go wrong with pizza.
you got to feed them something, right? And it's convenient.
Yeah.
But that, okay, so here's what I took out of that. I took that you had $500 and 4 years and you made a feature.
Yes.
That's amazing. Okay, so that's what I have to say to people who say, I don't have enough money, I don't have the right equipment, I don't have any actors, I don't have this, I don't have... It's always about what they don't have instead of what they've got.
Right.
And you are an example of what you've got. You know, $500 over 4 years, that's doable. And yes, used friends and family in your film, true?
Yes, yep.
So that cuts down on you know, I lose an actor because they've got some other job. You've got friends and family who are helping you out. I mean, it just, you are the poster boy for indie films. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, this is how it's done. Like, you just, so, but I understand that it took 4 years because you experienced what you call a creative block. Can you sort of describe what that did to you and how you finally broke free of it?
Like when I was doing, you know, all the filming and stuff, mm-hmm. and a lot of times I would edit at night after filming. I would long nights, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, because I wanted to make sure all my footage was good. Because it looks all right in camera at the moment, you're not thinking freely enough to see some of the flaws within the scene, some of the audio errors. But I would do that, and I was really grinding on it pretty good. Then at the end of towards the end of 2014 there, that's when I had the laptop crash. I had to send out the laptop to get it repaired. I was able to preserve like pretty much my entire editing timeline and everything, like all that I had worked on. By the time I had gotten it back, I was just so discouraged. And I don't know, from that moment on, I just kind of got caught up living in life and just working on it little bit by little bit here and there.
Right.
1 year became 2 years, and then
yeah, it just kept snowballed. Going on. Yeah, it snowballed into I just don't have it in me. Right? Yeah. You just kind of didn't have it in you anymore. Yeah, you had a difficult time picking it up again. But so when did you decide, okay, I'm going to finish this damn film?
Another thing that contributed to some of the problems that I had in May 2016, I had a stroke.
Oh my God.
And
wow.
That sidelined me from work, and I was in a really serious depressive state. Being out of work and everything, you know, it was a very rough spot, rough spot in life. And I guess part of my healing process, you know, I just thought to myself, you know what, I got to get back to writing. I got to do this just to get my mind off things try to help me heal, I guess you could say.
Did it?
Absolutely.
Once creative, always creative, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it helped you get through all that. Wow, I'm sorry that happened to you. That's crazy, man. But even with that happening to you, you still managed to get through the film and make this film. Unbelievable, man. That's awesome. Do you have any advice for somebody who is thinking, I want to make a film?
Well, I would try to say, you know, don't stretch out and try to do something too big. I mean, just look at realistically like I did, you know. I mean, I'm not trying to push my method on anybody, you know. I mean, it worked for me. Maybe it'll work for somebody else. But look at what you have around you, and just write an idea based upon like settings you can access easily without added cost. People you can request help with, you know, without the added cost. And just take it from there, you know. Look, people are making movies with cell phones nowadays. Exactly. Because they're so high grade now. People use the iPhones, the S8s or S9s, whatever they're up to now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
these cameras and these phones now are better than the camera I used to make Upstate Story.
That's true. That's, you know what? You're not wrong. I mean, Tangerine, I can't remember the filmmaker, but the film Tangerine was made on an iPhone. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and
his name was Sean something. I can't think of his last name.
I can't think
Sean.
Of it right now. But he did a great film on an iPhone. So the excuses become just excuses. It's just you have no excuse. If you can pull it all together, make a list of things that you have, you can make a film, right?
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I read about you is that your films have this signature in them, which is a mix of black and white, sepia, and color. And by the way, in Upstate Story, you used it beautifully. It changed the whole film when that happened, when you went from black and white to color. It just was insane. So is this, why this mix? Why do you put that mix into your films?
To put certain emphasis on certain situations. I remember years ago when I was in school and, you know, when I was, you know, binge watching a lot of like Euro movies, I ended up watching movies by Tarkovsky, the Russian filmmaker, right, who did Solaris. Mm-hmm. He was another one who used a similar kind of format, and he believed that color was being used or abused in movies by using so much color, we no longer relish some of the more beautiful moments that could take place within a film.
Okay.
So I kind of feel that also if you use it sporadically, I mean, it's just my choice.
Yeah.
If you just use it sporadically, I feel that like it'll put so much stronger emphasis on certain moments within your project than just filming the whole thing flat out in color.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because it does raise the stakes at times, doesn't it?
Yes.
Changes the attitude. Like it was really well done. I have to be honest. It was just really well done. So I hope people will take a look at this film, because I when it was black and white, I got a depressed feel out of it. And then when you did sepia, it was almost like the past.
Yes.
And then color was this, I've got life again. It was just, it was really well done. Kudos to you, man. I don't care what style it is and how you use it. You used it well. Good for you. Oh, so I did notice something that I wanted to ask you about in the film. He walks into a liquor store and everything is backwards. Now, did you do that on purpose?
I filmed the scene initially. I did do like a mirror effect to flip it.
Yeah.
Because you see Ellis driving left to right.
Right.
When I edited the footage, it was all supposed to be part of like that travel montage there, right, in the beginning. And then the way I filmed it, he was going from right to left. Okay. I kind of felt that would have been too distracting for the viewer.
I see.
The motion shift from one scene to the other, so I flipped it. So that way when he was driving in the one shot, left to right motion. Right. And then flipped it left to right motion.
Right. So it matched. It flowed better.
Yeah.
Well, because it got me screwed up. I'm thinking, is this a rights issue? Does he worry about the labels? Is it what he's seeing? Is he a little freaked out right now? Like, it really made me think. It really did. It was crazy, man. Now, you're working on a documentary right now, aren't you?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
It's going to take place, or it's going to show some of my struggles that I went through making Upstate Story. It's going to focus on a project that I had started working before Upstate Story, but was never able to complete. So it's going to go as far back as, I believe, 2013, 2014.
Wow.
And all to do with my story leading up to and during Upstate Story.
Wow. Yeah, because there was a lot going on. I mean, you had a lot going on. Holy mackerel. So that sounds interesting. And do you have an idea of when that might be finished?
I will be releasing a trailer for it, hopefully later on today.
Send it to me, please. I'd like to see it.
I will.
That's awesome. And where can people see Upstate Story?
YouTube.
Just search Upstate Story. I'll put it in my show notes, by the way, as a link, so people can go right to it. You know what, guys? It's free. It's an hour and a bit of your time, and you're going to see what an indie filmmaker really does. And it's so give him a shout. I think it's well deserved. He did a great job. So give Upstate Story a try. Okay, so now you, sir, are down to the big three. The big three questions I ask everybody who comes on the show. So, sure. What's the biggest filmmaking mistake you ever made, and how did you overcome it?
Oh, boy.
You made a lot. Everybody does. It's crazy.
I would say, you know, even though I have been able to save money by recruiting the help of, like, friends and family, sometimes even, you know, girlfriends, what have you.
Yeah.
sometimes you got to be a little selective over who you pick, because it can really come back and bite you. Because if you're working on a scene and they're supposed to be helping you, and then all of a sudden you have like a personal tiff.
Yeah.
And they're, I have worked with some undesirable people. Yeah, I guess that those would be amongst my biggest mistakes.
Yeah, you have to be careful who you work with.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's funny, if you're invested with that person already, that probably creates more tension than if you just met, you know, a couple of weeks before the shoot.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you think about it.
I think that, you know, like the personal connection factor does play a large part in, you know, the idea of there possibly being really bad problems later on down the road.
Yeah. How do you direct people that you know? Is it difficult?
With Upstate Story, the hardest people to direct, I think, were my kids.
Yeah.
Just because they don't really understand. They were really young at the time. My son might have been 2.
Yeah, yeah.
So, To make up for that, we just improvised a lot of scenes.
Right, right.
We just kind of went off on the fly. I just said, you know, just be you. Just be you.
That's great direction.
Seriously. Because if you give them, like, strict orders, you know, you can't look at the camera and all that stuff. And plus, I purposely filmed it in such a way so that it was kind of wild. And even if they did look at the camera, it was okay because it was a wild and chaotic.
Yeah. Well, that was a good piece of direction to just do it. Just let it happen. That was really good. And you're right, because at that time, that's what you were wanting, because that was his life. It was hectic. It was chaotic. It was perfect. So well done. So what is the best filmmaking advice you ever received?
There's a couple things. At one of the festivals I went to, I've heard of... you know, people trying to reinforce, you know, the idea to me, you know. It's something I already knew, but people still try and tell me, write what you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, make a movie about what you know.
Yep.
When you start going out into, like, uncharted territory about stuff you have no clue about, you're going to more likely fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not. Write what you know. Just keep pushing forward. I mean, that's pretty much like the essence of all life and its struggles. And I think it really translates to filmmaking very well. I mean, you can have a bad day. Things are behind. Things are looking bleak. You just got to keep doing it.
Right. Keep going. That's brilliant. Oh, man. Hey, that's just keep going. One foot in front of the other, right? That's great.
Yeah.
So can you name a film that inspired you, either in life or as a filmmaker? I imagine you've got a few.
With films, you know, Citizen Kane by Orson Welles.
Wow. Yeah, you're going right to the top. You're going right to the best there is.
Pretty much film school 101.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding.
Any person. Seven Samurai by Kurosawa.
You're not the first to say that.
Marx Brothers movies. I love the
Wow.
Marx.
Wow, you're really going back.
Yeah. Groucho is, I think I might have been Groucho in my past life. I don't know. I love Groucho.
Well, they did make some great films, right?
Yeah.
Duck Soup. I mean, they've made some great films. No, those are great choices. Those are really good. So where can people find out about what you're up to?
You can go on my, I do need a personal website. I do have Facebook pages up for Upstate Story.
Okay.
I have a Facebook page up for the respected group of collaborators that I have called the West Side Outsiders Film Group. That's being updated quite frequently with whatever, you know, project news we got going on.
Okay.
And, cool. The upcoming documentary, Making and Unmaking, also has a Facebook page.
Okay. I'm definitely going to put this in the show notes so people know where to find you. And again, I'm going to put a link straight to Upstate Story so people can watch that as well. Sean, you're amazing, man. Keep doing what you're doing. You. Seriously,
you're great too, man.
Just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, you're setting an example for people, whether you believe it or not or know it or not. This is what people should be doing. You make what you have, you use what you have, and make a great film. So thanks a lot, Sean. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much as well. It's great talking to you.
That's our show for today, and I can't thank you enough for spending your valuable time with me. I greatly appreciate it. I really hope that you learned something from today's episode, and just as importantly, that you enjoyed it. As always, if you have any comments or questions about the show, please stop by my Facebook page at How They Did It Podcast. I'm on Twitter at HFilmmaking and on Instagram at How They Did It Filmmaking. Please show your support for the show by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Thanks again for joining me, and I'll be back with another show next week. Until then, keep shooting.